Hello, welcome to the January HGSC Green Team meeting. Thank you all for being here live, and to all of you who may be joining afterwards just to kind of check it out, welcome, and thanks for making the time. Let me pull up some slides just to give you an idea of what we'll be covering in our like 45 minutes together today. Okay, so we do these meetings monthly. For those of you who may be new, they've been for a long time on this third Thursday of the month, just because it's an easy time to remember. At 1 o'clock on Zoom, and they will be staying on Zoom for the near future. Hopefully we'll be back to in-person before too long. So today, here's what I'm hoping that we can cover. I've got a few announcements to share with you guys after we go through some intros, just so we can get to know each other, because there's some new faces. And then the debrief, we usually spend kind of discussing recent projects, excuse me, but I feel like the recent project right now is just that we are all getting through this period. So I just want us to have some space to kind of check in with each other and how you're all holding up. Then after that, we'll discuss a little bit what's going on currently with our Green Team Project of the Year, which is trying to make this commencement even more sustainable than usual. And then lastly, we're going to have a presentation from Hye-Young Lim at GSC. So thanks for joining us on promoting sustainability as part of our lifestyles. And especially the waste sorting. I can't wait to see what you have to share. So stick around for that. It's going to be good. Cool. So for the intro, I will stop sharing in just a moment, but these are the questions I'd love for us to just share is like, what is your name and what do you do here either at Harvard for those of you who aren't at the Ed School, or what do you do at the Ed School? And if you feel like sharing, if there's a piece of happy environmental news that you've heard lately, or otherwise, if there's just kind of a nice source that you like to turn to for not all bad news, for good news too. So I'll go first just to break the ice. So yeah, my name's Anne. I work with operations on sustainability at the Ed School. And I've been really loving, there's a guy, Bill McKibben, who many of you may know. I believe he's a Harvard graduate, but he's most famously like a co-founder of 350.org. And just like one of the best known long-term environmental journalist. And he does like a weekly newsletter, which I really like because it's just very thoughtful. And like, he pulls up stuff that I don't see really in many other places. And yeah, I just like his perspective. So I've been enjoying that a lot. If anybody else wants to jump in, go for it. I'll mute myself now.
I can go. So I'm still, yeah, I know you guys, hello. And I study human development and education. I'm also a sustainability fellow. And a good piece of news was yesterday I went to the Boston Aquarium and I looked at a tank full of 2,200 endangered fish that have been populating in that tank.
I love that. I can go next. I'm Lindsay. I am also Hugsy. I'm ELLE, so Education, Leadership, Organizations, and Entrepreneurship. And for me, I work for a company called Subject to Climate, which some of you know. And I think we, just being part of that community, there's always good news about the environment. And just we produce lesson plans for teachers. And yeah, so they are my source of happy environmental news.
And I can share out a link to Subject to Climate with the notes from this later. Cool.
I can go next. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. My name's Naomi Morrison. I am a Hugsy MED as well, an LDIT. I just had one of my career conversations, so I haven't had a chance to check this out, but it sounded really cool. He was saying that the Climate Change Center at the Arizona State University was getting really frustrated with how dystopian all of the news was, and they had the scientists write a book about climate change utopia as a novel to kind of change and say, if we actually succeeded in doing this, what would it be like? And I thought that was super cool. So I will check that out and I'll share it out with you guys. And I'm super excited that Hye-Young and Mayo are here. And I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I'm sure I'm butchering it. But I got to see their presentation in our T550 kind of rapid snapshots, and theirs was super cool. So I'm thrilled you guys are here. I can't wait to see it again.
I could jump in and go next. Hi, everyone. My name's Maho. I'm also in the LDIT program like Naomi here at Hugsley. And I guess some like small positive news that I heard recently was that my little sister called me. She's 9. She called me to let me know that at her school, they're now doing vegetarian options for the elementary school kids. And she was just super excited about the sustainability aspect of that. So that was really nice. And yeah, what do I find inspiration in? Probably in those little things, seeing, you know, children get excited about that. I think it's really nice to see, you know, how there's still a very hopeful approach to climate change, especially coming from little ones. So yeah, I'm happy to be here today. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'll go next. So my name is Carrie, and I'm also a sustainability fellow at Hugsley, and I'm in the human development and education program. Like an environment related news I've seen recently is that New Zealand government last month they passed the legislation about people who are under 14 right now, they will grow up not being able to buy any like cigarette or like tobacco products. And so this is like something really positive for the humans, but also something very positive for the environment. So there'll be less pollution.
Hello, nice to meet you all. I'm Hei Young, and I am an architect and designer at the design school. I'm pursuing right now a master's in design studies with a focus on waste management and human behavior. Starting in the fall, I've been researching with both Maho and students at the design school and how participatory and user-focused design can help educate and foster more sustainable lifestyles and environments in response to climate change. I would say good news within the realm of bad news and within my vicinity, a lot of my friends have been getting COVID, but the good news is that they have been recovering in like within 10 days, maybe some recovered within 3 days. So yeah, hopefully we're able to find enough kind of like a mutated society soon. Yeah, thank you.
That's great, thank you all. Okay, and I'm so excited, really. Thank you, Maho and Hei Young, for being here as well. It's fun to have a little different perspective from outside of what we get over at the Ed School. Fantastic. Okay, so let me pull up those slides one more time. Cool, so just a few announcements to share with you guys. I'll start off with the first one here, which is I put in cosmetics and we were discussing it earlier today, but anyway, we'll say Valentine's Day toiletries drive and tote bags, if you happen to have them, especially toiletries. That's something that we do at Harvard university-wide every year to benefit one of the family shelters down at the YWCA in Central Square in Cambridge. And so essentially Harvard Recycling runs this event and we just kind of participate by having a collection box on campus where people can bring things. But if you have either new toiletries, bath items, things like shampoo, soaps, et cetera, even nail polish, so like certain items, they've got a whole list, which is you can see down here. If you've got those in either new condition or, you know, lightly used, then you can bring them in and they will be sharing them out at a party that they do as sort of like a self-care event for some of the people who take advantage of the shelter down in Harvard Square. So they do that as like a little pre-Valentine's Day party, which is fun. So it's nice because it's an opportunity to share out some of what you might otherwise be tempted to just toss, but it's perfectly usable, and also to just make sure that those resources are getting used. So we will have a drop-off box in the Gutman entrance soon. I'm working on getting that all set. We have to kind of update some signage, but other than that, that should be there soon. And then for those of you who may live in Alston or find it more convenient, like ultimately these items are going to Harvard Recycling in Alston. And so their location at 20 Travis Street is another place where you can bring these things. So, oh no, this is so old. Oh my gosh, when I made these slides, how to talk to a climate skeptic. I think this is a typo. It's January 27th, I believe. So next Thursday, I wanna say. So that's going to be a cool talk. It's from the School of Public Health with one of their really great professors who's worked on sustainability issues at Harvard for a long time, Ari Bernstein. So he'll be presenting. Sorry about the typo there on the date, but that's something to think about checking out if you've got time. And then something I'm just beginning to plan that we're going to do is like kind of a co-sponsored event with peers over at the Kennedy School. It will be a Charles River cleanup on actual Earth Day, which is going to be on a Friday this year, April 22nd. It'll be in the morning that day. So details to come on that. We're just kind of working it out, but that should be good too. Oh, and I see my slides also. I put the poster right over my last one, but the last thing was something called a walk and talk, which we got started a few years ago with a really great guy who's still, I believe, at the Ed School, Eric Torres. He's still around as a postdoc. He's great, but he has a background in education and philosophy and had come to the Green Team a few years ago saying, like, there's this nice thing I've been working on, which is this walk and talk. It's kind of like going back to an old philosophical idea, but the idea of just coming together and letting, you know, ideas flow and exchange as you're walking around campus. And I was hoping to be able to do that this month, but we are shelving that idea for now because of everything at the Ed School being remote, I mean, at Harvard through next Monday. And anyway, just for health and safety reasons, we don't want to risk that. So that is off for now. But if it becomes safe later in the semester, then I will certainly revisit that idea and let you know about that. And the only other thing I wanted to say is for those of you who are not students, which isn't too many of you today, but usually the Green Team meets once a month, like pretty much throughout the year, but I'm going to start shifting our meeting schedule to just kind of mirror more the academic schedule so that there's a break in the summer to do more annual planning. So we'll meet through May in this case this year, but then we'll take a break for a couple months, not meet in June or July, but then be back in time for orientation and welcoming new students and new people in the fall. So that's all I've got for announcements. Do you guys, any of you have announcements to share? No? Okay. Think of something in a moment. Feel free to jump in with it. Okay. This is still an old photo, sorry, from the fall. I hadn't changed this out, but just wanted to spend the next couple of minutes asking how you guys are holding up. I'm going to stop sharing here. But yeah, it's been quite a period. Is everyone doing okay? And any thoughts to share, or I don't know, anything? I just want to give some space for that. So feel free to share if you'd like to. One more thing. Welcome to Eric. He's one of our longtime Green Team members from doctoral programs. So.
Everyone, I hope you're doing well. Sorry to interrupt. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Eric. One thing I wanted to share is that Professor Tina Grotzer started a monthly climate change touch base, which I think I've seen some of the people here. We're also in her first meeting. I'll look for the recurring invite to share if people haven't seen it. But it was, the first one was nice because it was people who maybe have left Hugsy and they shared what they've been doing and how they've been able to bring sustainability and climate change into their current roles.
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, it's I know she is welcoming everyone, but it started kind of very casually, I think at the end of the fall or the fall two class, teaching climate change. It is, I think, the last Tuesday of every month in the afternoon right now. Second Tuesday. Thanks, Lindsay. I'm like, Lindsay says second Tuesday.
But I'm reading the email right now. I'll put in some things in the chat.
Thank you.
I'm about to take her class in the spring, so.
It's wonderful. You're going to love it.
It's the cognitive science one, though.
That one is also probably wonderful.
I didn't know about that. That's great. And if it's open to alumni, I was just recently looking at some of the students I've met within the last 2 or 3 years, and it might be fun to kind of extend the invitation to them if that's a space for where they can join too. But cool.
She's also incredibly approachable. So if you were to just send her an email also, she'll put you on the list.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Wonderful. So how have you guys been doing, those of you who are students, how have you been doing with the remote aspect here the last few weeks? Is that going okay?
I liked it. I was glad to have J-term remote.
I think the class I took in formal learning was a lot of time on the computer. Like that was definitely supposed to be an in-person class, but it was way better. Like it was fine. It was surprisingly fine.
That's great. That's awesome. For me personally, I can say, so yeah, we have two young kids at home and all of us ended up getting sick with COVID for, even though we were vaccinated and everything. So it was a little crazy. But I just saw a headline in the Boston Globe talking about like some parents had recently met up for like a primal scream last week in Charlestown. I'm like, that sounds kind of nice. That's, I feel like, where my headspace has been. I'm excited now to have like a little more, I don't know. I feel like I have more space having gotten through that to start to focus on productive things here for the semester. So I'm excited for that part. But yeah, it's just been a wild ride here for quite some time, as we all know. Okay, well, that said, if no other reactions to share, then we can just get into, I'm not gonna even bring up the slide for this for the moment, but our project that we're working on throughout this year as a green team is working to make our commencement more sustainable. Are there any updates, Naomi, perhaps from you or from you, Carrie? If not, I can share a little bit of what I've heard from operations today, but I'll let you guys share if you have anything first.
No updates. I know I got the visual center from you, Anne, so thank you. I would like to figure out what we want to poll the student community to ask about. So maybe I'll send some ideas to this group, and I'd love to hear people's feedback. I want to make sure it's something that we can deliver on, so I don't want to ask too many open-ended questions. Ideally, I think if we could get stuff posted next week, so we can maybe make it part of the topic of our next session, that would be great.
Sounds good. So I can say I met with my supervisor at operations this morning just to kind of find out what's going on with commencement planning. It's still happening. She's going to kind of keep me in the loop, but like a few issues that I was thinking about is there's usually a team of volunteers that help to make commencement happen. And so we've done this some in the past, but I want us to really make a point of it this year of having some time to meet with the volunteers to train them on waste differentiation, like just making sure they understand what goes in the compost, recycling, et cetera. We'll have, I believe, our big water dispensers so we can avoid the single-use water bottles again. There are certain things that we've already been doing for a while. So it's like some of it, I just want to revisit it, make sure we're doing it as well as we can. And then also focus a little bit on the piece of like communicating about 5 to 10 times over what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it's beneficial. So whether it's getting like a blurb in the program for commencement or hopefully both, having it going out in emails that you guys get from the student affairs office in terms of kind of preparing to have family and friends be there. And yeah, just I'm just thinking through kind of how it's gone in the past and making sure that some of that can be worked in this year. And the other thing I'm hoping for, especially with the volunteers, is typically students wait in a room before heading over to get their diplomas at Radcliffe Yard and have like a quick lunch there. And I want to make that like a default veg lunch if we can, like just make it. So if students need to opt into something that's the animal-based protein, they can, but otherwise have kind of the default be something more vegan and plant-based. And then also have some volunteers that are there to make that aspect of commencement zero waste. So just taking anything left in the rooms from the graduating students, have a little group of us that can go in and sort things. Most of it will go in the compost, but make sure, you know, again, just we get everything in the right bin and can have that pride of minimizing waste in that area. So cool. Okay, well, Naomi, yeah, keep us posted on your ideas for the poll. Happy to push that forward ASAP. And yeah, we can, Carrie and Naomi and I are kind of in touch anyway, but we can keep in touch over the next few weeks about more. So, and yeah, I'll be curious to see what you come up with the poll. So, Cool. All right. Any other thoughts?
I have a question. Oh, yeah. Well, about commencement, is it possible to like send out an email to, I guess, students prior to and being like, hey, balloons are really bad for the environment. Yeah. And here's an alternative. And like confetti's really bad for the environment. Mm-hmm. Here's an alternative and things like that. Just because then.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Like some alternatives. Yes. That would be a good thing. Let me reach out to OSA about that, because I feel like they're in the best position to probably be communicating something like that. So yeah, that's a great idea. Like we would be able to come up with the content, but just first figuring out how it would get across, like they would get that message across. Okay, great thought.
And I guess making sure that those don't show up in our own graduation decorations.
Yes, yeah, yep. That's something that we had talked about, but hadn't gotten far into. Yeah, in terms of what they're purchasing and what they're gonna be using. Yes, so decorations in general, okay. Cool. And if you have any of you have like great alternatives that you've either seen in the past or used yourselves, please send them my way. I'd be all ears.
Cool. If you, I haven't been to a commencement in over a decade. So like if we can get a list of what's normally at them, then we could brainstorm. Mm.
I know. So the Harvard, maybe you can speak to that, Eric, because you've seen some commencements from up close.
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, part of the issue is you have a lot of moving parts here. So what student affairs purchases versus what like the programs themselves purchase. I know that they try to have like a lot of flags. So those are reused every year. I know a lot of like the robes are reused. There's a lot of stuff that is already multi-use or reusable. But the problem is you have, you know, parents coming in from all over the place. You have people with different values coming in. And obviously there's like a flower shop right on the street that sells everything. So you know, I know in the past we've sort of had issues where we don't want anyone to feel bad about their own cultural preferences, or, you know, so it's like, it is definitely a balancing act to make sure that you are sending the right message, but also being accepting and receptive of what other people really want to do. And let's be honest, like this is a very celebratory time and some people will come right out and say like, this is bad. And it's the one time my daughter or son is going to get their master's degree. So I'm having a blowout with the balloons or confetti or whatever. And that's somewhat understandable, even though it's not my preference. So just keep that in mind.
That's a good point. Yeah.
One other comment that somebody had shared that I thought was really smart is there's a lot of concern kind of going around in some of our WhatsApp groups about how many tickets there will be and how many, you know, people that people will be able to bring to graduation, but there's also a lot of people who won't be able to bring anyone, you know, with COVID restrictions, border travel. So what kind of really fabulous online, you know, event can we create so that like families around the world or who might not be able to be here in person really get to be a part of the celebration? And I would imagine that that is happening, but it would be great to make sure that we focus on that. And I think it's also three classes graduating at once this year. So it's kind of a big deal. So there's probably, hopefully, a lot of content that can be shared about what's happened over the last 3 years.
Great points. I can bring that up when I reach out to like Kevin Bohm at Student Affairs. And that's a good question. Just in terms of like students getting a heads up, I'm sure that they're already planning it and they have certainly all the experience of the last couple of years to draw from, but it might be nice for you guys to know, like just have a sense of what's going to be available. Cool.
Yeah, I think students would love to know sooner rather than later how many they get in terms or how many people they can invite to come in person, and then what might Harvard be doing to include us.
All right, great. So in that case, I'm going to pull up my screen just one last time.
I have one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I'm in the Harvard, what is it? It's like the Student Advocacy Committee across all graduate schools. And they have a section where a team's going to be working on sustainability issues. So if you want, I can pitch commencement, but it would have to be like campus wide or any other topic that you would like to see worked on this specific year during over the springtime as a sustainability issue for advocacy, but campus-wide.
Okay. Thanks, Celia. That's helpful. Okay. So I'm sorry I didn't include Maho's name on here on the slide as well, but I will turn it over to you guys. I believe you're going to need to share your screen as well, right, Hayoung? So let me just allow that to happen. Sorry. There we go. Okay. I think you should be all set now.
Is this showing up?
Yes, this looks great.
Okay, great. So Maho and I have been working on this project for a fall course called T550 taught by Karen Brennan. I will let Maho give an intro to our project.
Awesome, thanks, Hayoung. So for our T550 project, we got to really choose what we wanted to explore. So Hayoung and I, at first we were like, okay, we're both really into climate action and sustainability. What can we do there? And at first, you know, of course, we started talking about how, you know, building habits, breaking habits, and the cognitive ways in which we understand climate change. And obviously having to ground it for our project, for our course, we were like, okay, what's one area in which every single human on the planet could contribute? And that was in waste production and just how we dispose of it and how much of it we generate. That's the one thing that really everyone is guilty of in our own different ways. So we wanted to explore trash. And of course, knowing that our users would be the entire planet, we were like, how about we narrow it down just a little bit, something a little closer to home. And we brought it back to Harvard. Here at Harvard, I'm sure we've all seen the trash bins that we have here projected on the screen right now, all around campus. And we decided to kind of explore what that was like for the students here. We spent a lot of time, watching people throw out trash and kind of getting a feel of that interaction and what was driving their ways of thinking, trying to understand that process of disposing of trash without being too invasive, and also playing around with how our presence and how being invasive might actually influence that moment. So we had some fun creating this project and ended up just realizing that even though the panels are there, a lot of people just don't know how to do it. And we ended up with the project that we're about to present to you right now. So without further ado, I'll just pass it back to Hayoung.
Yeah. Thank you. We will do kind of like a quick rapid quiz thing. So if you can get your Zoom chat ready, feel free to participate or not participate, up to you. Yeah. So you are studying at the Smith Campus Center with an ice latte. On your way out, you throw out this cup with some leftover ice. In which bin would you throw this out?
Great. So during the winter, you get your favorite hot holiday drink and you're disposing of the empty cup that you finished to the last drop. In which bin would you throw this out?
Or what about your banh mi food container with leftovers? In which bin would you throw this out?
Well, if you guessed trash for all three, great job. And if you chose elsewhere, don't worry, this is the chance to learn. So we're gonna take a closer look at why all these three items belong in the trash.
So first of all, the tate cup. This ends up in the trash because it has leftover liquid content. The cap and the straw also cannot be recycled due to the size and the light weight of these materials. Do not wish cycle by throwing these into the recycling bin because they will contaminate the entire bin and make it unsalvageable. If you want to recycle, you have to remove all those elements, wash the cup, and then recycle just the cup.
As for the paper cup, our instinct might be to recycle it because we're like, hey, it's paper. But the cup has a plastic inner coating and therefore it goes in the trash. These are actually really complicated to recycle. So do not recycle.
And lastly, our banh mi food container. Not only does this paper food container have leftover food or sauces, it also has a plastic coating, making it non-recyclable. Food goes into the compost bin and container goes into the trash.
So you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, why is throwing out trash so complicated and picky?
And the answer is, oh my gosh, I know, right?
But we as responsible earthlings and educators with a Harvard label must do better.
So we decided to use this project not only to educate ourselves on how we can become better Samaritans, but also takes this chance to become vehicles in educating our entire Harvard community. Our goal is to further develop this prototype scenario-based game of choosing which objects go into which bin and why, so that later we can pitch our ideas to the Harvard Green Office or admissions or any stakeholders. And in that way, incoming Harvard students can learn about proper disposing habits during the mandatory orientation sessions before they enter the school. And that ends our presentation. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. That is so cool. Wow. I love how like short and to the point and fun that was. Thank you guys. That was so nice.
That's also the second time I've done it, and I think I still got something wrong.
One thing I can say is I spent like 2 years, because that's how this goes in the higher ed, but with one of my friends from the college who does sustainability there, we spent 2 years talking to a vendor who does, like, for the city of Cambridge, they have a recycling finder thing where they, you go on their website on trash and recycling and you can enter any item and they'll tell you whether or not it's recyclable. So they offer that tool, which is called Waste Wizard, and they also have a recycling waste game. And we thought about purchasing it, but couldn't get anybody to buy into it. Anyway, like if we had gone that route, they were inviting us that we could personalize it. And it would be so cool to have content like what you're showing, where, yeah, it's really specific about, I love your examples that they were from places all of us know and have been to. That's so cool. So yeah, keep it up and like, let us know where it goes, because we would love to be sharing that out. It's so nice.
Thank you so much for your feedback. We actually really want to keep exploring this next semester. We don't want to drop it at T550. So we're going to be in Tina Grotzer's course on teaching climate change. We're also taking the Advanced Ed Tech Studio one to see if we can make it. I mean, it's a prototype for a game. It works. We did complete it, but we know that we could do so much better. And we're just exploring ways of, you know, making it engaging and motivating, and maybe finding a way to put it out there so that students know about it. Just like, you know, at the beginning, we all have to do the Title IX orientation, it would be really cool to have something like this that people know is out there. Because there are also those tools where you can just Google the object and it tells you what to do. But a lot of people don't even know it exists. So finding a way to kind of make it mandatory or just make it there and visible, that's kind of something that we're aiming for and still exploring with. So we'll definitely let you know how that progresses this next semester. I think we're both really excited about it.
I think that would be great to have had that at the orientation when we're doing the different training mod, whatever those things were. Yeah. Oh my God, that would have been perfect.
Especially that it's so short and like, yeah, you could touch on so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Yeah. Thank you guys.
How many times have you presented it so far? Like quite a few?
This is our second time.
Yeah. This is our second time. Yeah.
It would be very cool, yeah, to get you to present, maybe if you're comfortable with it, if you're not already involved with the Council of Student Sustainability Leaders, which is a university-wide group, they would probably love to see your presentation too. And it could be interesting to team you guys up and see what comes of that. So I might make that introduction over email if you're comfortable with it.
Yeah, Absolutely. That would be really wonderful. Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
Especially as we're exploring where we want to take it, you know, so it'd be great to have that formative feedback moving forward.
I would just say that I felt like when you said we have like this Harvard behind us, oh, sorry, Eric, you raised your hand, that we are, you know, we have this responsibility because we are Harvard, even though it's like a pain in the butt. I definitely feel like that speaks a lot. And I really, that really like spoke to me. But I think that one other point I would make is like, yeah, it's a pain to have to rinse out your cup, rinse out this and that. And like, meanwhile, like, what are you going to use? You're going to look around in the restaurant, find like a water thing or something to rinse it with before you use the trash. And the whole thing is like, it's out of like suffering like that, that innovation takes place because people don't want to have to do that anymore. But we're not going to get to that point if people aren't suffering first and then trying to find out a better way.
You just made a really good point. You know, how do we get people to suffer first? In the kindest of ways, of course. We had a lot of really dark conversations with a young woman when we were designing this. We're like, how can we do this in a way that isn't painful, but is still a little uncomfortable, you know, we're playing around. Eric, you raised your hand earlier.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, guys. This is amazing and very cool. A couple comments. One is it's a real shame that you can't just use your own cup. Like COVID took that away from us because that's what a lot of people who are into sustainability did. They just bought a cup and reused it. So what a shame. Two is this would be awesome. You should certainly control this however you want, but it'd be great if you got this out to like the programs themselves, because like I know the administrators would like love, they're always looking for like content to put on their webpage or content to put on their newsletter. Like this can definitely be, certainly it'd be awesome as an orientation module, but it'd be fun, you know, to take it again in January when you're coming back and you're like killing 5 minutes of time. You're like, what should I do? Oh, I should check out this thing that my PA sent me, or, you know, so definitely there are all kinds of ways to get this stuff out there. And then my third thing is, so if all this goes in the trash and compost goes in the compost, like what actually goes in the recycle bin? Like what's left?
That's why recycling is really never the best option. It has to be big enough to recycle. It has to be clean. It also can't be black plastic. You know, there are so many things that go into whether something can be recycled or not. It's hard. It's definitely hard. And maybe that's why, honestly, when in doubt, it's better to put it in the trash because it's so easy to wish cycle and just end up ruining a bunch of very recyclable material. So it's a real shame.
Well, and we have all those barrels that are like perfect for recycling. Like they look so nice, but if they're not really useful, perhaps we're just sending the wrong message by even having that as a choice, you know? Mm. So, and I know that's more your area. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like just to get to a point. This is where I'm like, I wish we got Daily Brandon's the coordinator for Harvard Recycling now, and she can probably share like some stats with us on that. But like we do produce a certain amount of recycling, so don't worry. There's still like, especially from like empty soda bottles or things like that, plastic water bottles.
Yeah.
Campus, I think there is some. But yeah, her and then the other person who's great is like, there's an education coordinator from our recycling vendor. Her name is Gretchen. Why am I forgetting her name? I will send it out with the notes though, sorry. Cause she's involved with Mass Recycles too, like a statewide initiative. And anyway, she shares a lot of the same info you've shared, which is like when in doubt, throw it out. She says anything smaller than a credit card really doesn't belong in the recycling because it'll just get clogged up in the machinery. So she knows like the ins and outs of kind of like the machinery, the people involved in operating the machinery, like just some of the health and safety implications and other things that are like, oh yeah, good to know. Like it's more of like a Mr. Rogers picture in terms of like getting how it all works. It doesn't just go into this magical cloud and get, you know, disposed of. So, yeah.
It's funny that you said that because we literally, we spoke with Daily a lot while creating this. And that's kind of what we wanted because I accidentally somehow found myself on a Zoom with Daily where she was walking everyone through what was recyclable or not. And I was like, this is great information. How can we make this presentable and like something easy to communicate to everyone? And that's kind of what all this was born from. So she's been wonderful helping us out for sure. Sorry, didn't raise my hand. I'm just gonna mute now.
No, we raised it after you. I was just gonna say, as far as putting this in like a program orientation, like part of the training videos. I think you could, even though I love how it's like short and sweet, I feel like there's still like a little bit of more room since it's like you have to take a quiz and stuff like that. So I'm just wondering if you can put in a video so that we can actually see what the recycling process is, because I honestly have no idea what that looks like at a recycling plant. At least here in Massachusetts, if it's done differently in other places, I don't know. But since I'm coming to this school, how's it being done here? What does it look like? This way I have better ways of remembering the reasons behind why I'm doing the recycling.
Yeah, you touched on a good point, trying to convey why is it important, not just how to recycle. What's special about Harvard is that they have their own waste services. I don't know if you have seen the trucks go by saying Harvard Waste Services, and they have their own recycling center, which is very rare and quite amazing. So yeah, that would be a good informative part that we can add to the orientation.
Like Sesame Street style with like the little video that's taking you through the recycling center.
Yeah.
Carrie, go.
Oh yeah, I saw Anne was about to say something, so okay, yeah. So thank you, Hayoung and Maho, for the presentations. And I was just wondering if I can get some of the questions you guys presented, because my sustainability project is going to be on waste sorting, and I'm going to design a quiz, and I really loved your questions, so I was wondering if I could use some of your questions in my quiz.
Absolutely. If you want, Carrie, we have the link of the prototype to our game. It's pegged on a website, so I think we could also share that with you if that would be helpful for you. We also have a 30-second version of our presentation pitch that we also made for the class, so really all of that I think we'd be happy to share out. Since we're still prototyping the game, we're still working on those. I feel like our examples aren't, there's room for progress, so we could definitely play around with that. We could get that to you if you want.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Problem.
Yeah, just congratulations, because I feel like this is an idea that's bounced around for so long, and you both managed to just do it in a way that's really digestible and wonderful. So just great work.
Thank you so much.
Cool. All right. So we're pretty much at time. I'm going to stop the recording here, but thank you for joining us.